Prospero, magician and Duke of Milan, and his daughter Miranda live stranded on an island. His advanced learning gives him magical powers, powers which give him a slave in the form of Ariel, a spirit who serves him. This is a basic premise of Shakespeare's The Tempest, and with a heaping of Freudian psychology and ancient aliens thrown in, it's also the starting point for the 1956 sci-fi epic Forbidden Planet. He's black, he's shiny, but he won't ask you to bite his shiny black ass. Today on Sci-Fi Idols, let's talk about Robbie the Robot, shall we? Forbidden Planet, a film whose $4.9 million budget was, at the time, almost unheard of for a science fiction film. It was a departure for a big studio like MGM. While nearly every other film of the genre was squarely in the B-picture space, MGM was on board to make an A-grade sci-fi flick and provided not only money but stars. Walter Pidgeon, Anne Francis, and yes, newcomer heartthrob Leslie Nielsen, who, before his comedic chops were well known, was an up-and-coming leading man. The film was groundbreaking in other ways. Its all-electronic soundtrack by Lewis and B.B. Barron was the first of its kind. It also received an Academy Award nomination for special effects, although it lost out to the Ten Commandments. But for audience, the most wondrous thing, besides the giant, gleaming, flying saucer C-57D, was Ariel, or in this case, Robbie the Robot, the 7-foot servant to Prospero, aka Dr. Morbius. With a large budget in hand and the MGM props department at its disposal, Forbidden Planet set out to be something special. On their Culver City lot, a huge C-57D, or at least 3/4 of it, was built. An enormous cyclorama backdrop was painted and hung behind it, which, even if you see it in publicity stills, conveys this enormous vista behind this enormous ship. And in the prop shop, something beautiful and completely new was taking shape. Designed by Buddy Gillespie, brilliant and largely unsung genius production illustrator Minter Huebner, who also worked on Blade Runner, it should be noticed, and handed over to mechanical designer Robert Kinoshita, Robbie was unique. Kinoshita often receives all the credit for Robbie, which is unfair to Gillespie and Huebner, but understandable given what he did with their design. He made it work in the real world, and he made it work at all. He built it. At an estimated cost of about $125,000, enormous money at the time, enormous money today. It was not only a new aesthetic for space movie robots, most of which had previously looked rather ridiculous and with very little thought of form and function given to them. Most of them were just, go cover a guy in metal and stick some lights on him, and the lights are optional if it costs too much. Robbie, on the other hand, was molded, vacuform, articulated, he was sleek, modern, and, well, he was badass. He was so convincing and astounding to audiences at the time that in promos for the film, MGM implied, if only half-heartedly, that he was a real robot. Robbie changed everything for sci-fi robots. And Robert Kinoshita, perhaps not the sole creator of the robot suit that Frankie Darrow stepped into and Marvin Miller gave that great voice to, but he was certainly the father of Robbie and the driving force behind the robot and all its subsequent imitators. Made of vacuum-formed plastic, molded fiberglass, metal, and neon, the robot exoskeleton, more like a futuristic samurai or deep diving suit than the unimaginative tin can robots that preceded him, was both formidable and beautiful, and he stole the damn show. So much so that even today, he's recognized by nearly any sci-fi fan, and even a lot of non-fans. Robbie went on to appear in other movies, most notably The Invisible Boy, and many, many, many TV shows, including Columbo and even Lost in Space, a show featuring another Kinoshita robot, B9, or as Kinoshita called him, Blinky. And Blinky's often overshadowed by his older brother. When people see Robbie, sometimes they'll say, oh, it's that Lost in Space robot. That's how famous Robbie is. And although his face, dome, and other features were sometimes changed, generally for the worse, he eventually got put right again. Robbie still lives today. He was restored in the 70s by a young guy named Fred Barton, who got the gig after having built his own replica in a garage and showing it to the then owner of the suit. And he later received the rights to build replicas and does so to this day. You can go buy your own Robbie if you have the right money. Barton eventually even accompanied Kinoshita in 2004 when Robbie was inducted into the Robot Hall of Fame, finally. You may have even seen him on a recent TV commercial with V9 and some other famous robot, although that was most probably a Barton suit, not the original. The original Robbie now resides in the Forbidden Planet collection of director William Malone, and after having been restored again by Malone, who'd also built his own replica when he was a kid, remains in tip-top condition. Being one of the most prominent collectors of Forbidden Planet memorabilia, Malone is probably the best place for Robbie to live right now. Although, it's my hope that one day he'll end up in a design museum where his beauty and his truly futuristic lines can be appreciated by future designers and fans of the genre. And where his true magician master, not Prospero or Morbius, but Robert Kinoshita, can receive his due. And that's the story of Robbie the Robot, a true sci-fi idol. This has been Sci-Fi Idols with your host Maggie McPhee. You can find us online at sci-fiidols.com. Music provided by Kevin MacLeod.